Now, every once in a while here at Davisville, we take a Sunday and focus it on what we call global outreach. And this happens to be one of those Sundays. And it's my pleasure to introduce you to our speaker this morning. His name is Jack O'Brien. Many of you may know him. Jack and his wife, Julie, served as missionaries in Mexico for 17 years. And for the past two decades, have continued to serve the Hispanic community here stateside. Jack has also served as our global outreach pastor for a number of years and recently transitioned that leadership to Michelle Matzik. Jack also is on our elder team and currently serves in that capacity here at Davisville. So it is my pleasure to introduce to you Jack O'Brien this morning. And I would encourage you, wherever you are, if it's an air high five or a shout out on Facebook, would you welcome Jack this morning?
I'd like to welcome you to Davisville Church this morning. You better like this message. This is a weapon which was brought back from Peru by Cliff Russell. Cliff was one of Davisville's first missionaries. He was sent out to the primitive peoples of South America in the late 1950s. And I remember Cliff well because Cliff was my third grade Sunday school teacher here at Davisville back in the day. And as I look at this weapon, I'm reminded of Davisville's passion to reach people all around the world for Jesus Christ. And I'm going to put this down so I don't hurt myself or somebody else. Davisville has had a passion for global missions for more than 60 years. We've been passionate about taking the good news of Jesus to people all over the world. And Davisville has been unique in that way, especially in partnering not only with missionaries from other churches, but by sending our own people to be missionaries to serve God overseas. And here I'd like to show you some photos of some of Davisville's own members that were sent out as missionaries, serving us, the Davisville family, over the last 60 years. If you recognize one of these missionaries, I want to invite you to respond by posting the missionary's name on the live stream chat. Now, you'll probably recognize more than one, but just go ahead and list one in the chat. Maybe you could choose one that fewer Davisville people would know. In most cases, I chose photos of our missionaries when we first sent them out, so some may look a little bit different than they do today. In the black and white photos are missionaries who were sent out in the 1950s and 60s. Do you recognize any of them? Hopefully, some of you will be able to put their names there. As you look at these photos, I'd like to invite you to take a moment to rejoice in what God has done for His glory around the world through Davisville Church and its missionaries throughout the years. These are some of the missionaries sent out by Davisville Church, not all of them. But I want to reiterate, these are people who came from Davisville Church. They represent us. As you look at these photos, I'd also like to invite you to take a moment to praise our sovereign God for all of the lives in foreign lands who have been changed for eternity. People saved, people discipled, leaders trained, churches planted, communities transformed through educational, medicine, economic, and social ministries. I'd like to also invite you to take a moment as you look at these photos to reflect on the amazing nature of the global ministry of God, who by His grace and for His glory saves us, transforms us, and uses us both corporately and individually to accomplish His global work. It's interesting to watch as God uses Davisville corporately for His global purposes as a result of Davisville individuals who deny themselves, sacrificially serve Christ, and fully follow Jesus Christ. So God accomplishes His global work equally through those who go and through those who send. As I look at each of these photos, I see not only a Davisville missionary, but if I focus enough and kind of look behind the photo, I see that missionary's family who loved and trusted their God enough to sacrificially release their loved ones to serve God in faraway places. If I look at these photos enough, behind a photo of a particular missionary, I see the Davisville pastors and leaders who unselfishly shared that missionary, a valuable ministry asset here at Davisville, with culturally distant people, so that people in foreign lands who otherwise might not have heard about Jesus would have the opportunity to hear. As I look at each of these photos, if I look hard enough, I see behind that photo of a missionary the multitude of faithful Davisville people who have provided all the emotional and physical and financial and spiritual resources that enabled that missionary to step out in faith and overcome incredible obstacles to go, adapt, endure, and flourish in challenging life and ministry circumstances in another culture. What's wonderful to reflect on what God has done through Davisville in the past, but at the same time, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture this morning and be challenged by Scripture about what God wants us to do today. What is God's mission? What is God's purpose for each of us today? So I invite you to open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And here we see that Christ commands us to continue his mission to make disciples of all nations. Let's read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now we understand what Christ's mission was. He said he came to seek and to save the lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came to pay for our sins so that we could have eternal life and so that we could have a life worth living in this world and so that we could invest our lives for his purposes. Those who believed in Jesus became his followers, his disciples. And here we see that after his resurrection, as Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, he hands off his mission to his disciples. And he commands his disciples to do what? He commands his disciples to make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to be a disciple, to make a disciple? Well, it's to help others place their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, and to become fully devoted followers of Jesus, who then will reach out and help others to do the same. It's interesting that when we read this verse in the English, we see two commands. We see go and make disciples. But really the only command in this verse in the original language is make disciples. And that command is accompanied by three other actions which also have imperative force. And those three actions describe what this process of making disciples looks like. Those three actions are, first of all, go, or perhaps better translated, going, or as you go. And this involves the intentional action of moving out, reaching out to others with the gospel message, either here or around the world. The second action is baptizing. That involves the public identification with Jesus and his church of those new believers. And the third action is teaching to obey all that Jesus has commanded. And this involves the process of life transformation, that process of helping people become fully devoted followers of Christ. One of the things that greatly encourages me about this passage, as I read about Jesus' command to make disciples, I'm often daunted by that, and fulfilling his mission seems like something that's beyond what I can do. But as I read this passage, I see that Jesus provides all the resources I need to make disciples globally. He gives us two endless resources that frame this command. In verse 18 and verse 20, we find these resources that enable us to obey the command to make disciples. Verse 18, says, "All authority or power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples." So we have all his power. We have all his authority. What more power is there than to have the authority, the power of the God of the universe that enables us to do what he asks us or commands us to do? And then in verse 20, he promises us his presence. What a tremendous resource. And his presence always. He says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." And so Jesus, as he left this world, commanded his followers to carry on his work. And he assures his followers, that includes us, that we have all the resources necessary to do this task. He's given us all his power through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And he's given us his presence with us always. So we are able to do what he asks us to do. Jesus entrusted this work, his mission, not just to those disciples 2,000 years ago, not just to vocational missionaries, not just to pastors. Jesus entrusted his mission to all of his followers. His mission is our mission. And this, in reality, is our life purpose. Our mission is to make disciples. And this is a question that I try to continually ask myself, and I would encourage you to do it. Am I fulfilling my mission of making disciples? Where are my disciples? And ultimately, of course, they are not my disciples. They are disciples of Jesus Christ. Then in verse 19, Jesus tells us of whom we are to make these disciples. He says, "Make disciples of all nations." Now, Jesus is not referring to nations here in political terms or political entities. He uses the term in the original ethne, which from which we get our English word ethnic. And Jesus is here referring to all of the linguistic, cultural, ethnic groups that exist in the world. And so our goal is to evangelize and make disciples in every people group in the world. As the disciples were hearing Jesus say this, I think they were probably surprised, because during the ministry of Jesus, they were focused only on ministering to Jews and only in the area of Judea, Samaria, Galilee. But here, as Jesus is saying, go and make disciples, I think that the disciples were probably thinking he's going to say all Jewish people. But Jesus blew their socks off and said, of all peoples. I want you to make disciples of all peoples. That, of course, would include the Jews, but it would include the rest of the world as well. And I think that's important for us to recognize, that we have the mission from Jesus to reach our own, those who are like us, those who are near us. But we also have the mission from Jesus to reach those who are not like us and those who are far from us. This is our purpose. We are his representatives, completing his work in the world, extending his message to all. So in our world today, what does it mean to make disciples of all peoples? What does that look like? How can we take the message of salvation to all peoples? Well, I think it's helpful to understand our task by analyzing the world's population in terms of what can be called people groups. What is a people group? A people group, for evangelistic purposes, is the largest group within which the good news can spread as a church planting movement without encountering significant barriers of understanding or acceptance due to culture, language, geography, etc. And statistics tell us that there are about 17,000 distinct people groups in the world today. Each of those people groups, with its unique culture, with its unique language, which require unique ministry approaches. Now, many people groups, unfortunately, are still unreached with the good news about Jesus. What is an unreached people group? An unreached people group is a people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. They need the help of expatriates. They need the help of missionaries to to do it. The current estimate of ethnic people groups that are unreached with the gospel of Jesus, they're separated, they don't have access to the gospel of Jesus, is about 7,000 people groups. These are people who are still beyond the reach of the good news. There's a great need still in these days for global outreach, for missionaries to carry out Jesus' mission. Well, that's a lot of unreached people. Where are they located in the world? Most of them are located in a part of the world which has been identified as what we call the 1040 window. That's a rectangle located between 10 degrees and 40 degrees north latitude. And you can see those red dots that are located primarily in that part of the world. And those red dots represent unreached peoples. And the people in that 1040 window that are unreached by the gospel of Jesus are primarily Muslim, Hindu, and Buddhist peoples. It has been estimated that over 80% of the people in that 1040 window have never even met a Christ follower, much less heard the gospel message. Another way to look at the world's population and the need for the gospel is to use this pie chart representing the total world population of 7.75 billion people. And here in this pie chart, we can see three segments. The green segment, which would be about 10% of the world's population, would represent those people who have genuinely come to faith in Jesus Christ. They have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by recognizing their sin, that they're separated from God. They have received the sacrifice of Jesus on their behalf, and they are born again by faith in Christ. It's wonderful that that we could say 10% of those 7.75 billion people are people who know Jesus truly. The sad thing is that means that there are 90% of the world's population who do not know Jesus. Of that 90%, about 50% of them, the yellow portion of the pie chart, can hear the gospel message. They have access to the gospel message. They may or may not have heard it, but at least it is available within their culture. But they've not truly believed in Jesus. This yellow portion of the pie chart would include many people who would classify themselves as Christians in one sense or another, but they are people who have never placed their faith personally in Jesus Christ for salvation. And then there's the red portion of this pie chart, which would represent the other 40% of the world's population, and this portion of the world's population are the unreached. These are the people who have never even had the opportunity to hear the good news about Jesus. And this would represent about 3 billion people of the world's population. Now, I don't know if that's overwhelming to you. It's hard to even process this when we're talking about 7.75 billion and 3 billion people and 7,000 unreached people groups. But these are people for whom Jesus died. And these are people that Jesus commands us to take the gospel to. Why should we focus on the unreached? Well, we may have questions about this. Yes, there are many who are unreached. But shouldn't we reach first those around us? Shouldn't we, before we go running off all over the world, shouldn't we reach those around us with the gospel first? Well, I think Jesus would say, yes, we need to reach those around us with the gospel. There are many here, some of whom are unreached with the gospel because within their cultural context, and they've come here from other cultures, they may not have heard about Jesus yet. And even with our own circles, there may be people certainly who have not come to faith in Jesus, even though they know about him or they know about the gospel message. Certainly we should reach those people with the gospel. Jesus' command here in Matthew 28 says, make disciples of all nations or of all peoples. So yes, we need to make every effort to reach those around us. Jesus has put us in our own particular personal context. That is our mission field. He has placed us there as his representatives, his missionaries, to carry out his mission. But at the same time, we need to seek to reach those far away with the gospel. I don't think it's an either or, and I don't think it's a thing where we have to wait until all of those around us have come to faith before we can reach out to those who are far away. I think the Lord wants us to reach both those near and far with the gospel message. Paul expressed his concept of the need to keep reaching out with the message of salvation in Romans 15:20. He says, "It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known." This was Paul's driving force. He would take the good news of Jesus to an area, he would make disciples, and then he would leave the follow-up to those disciples, and he would move on to another area. I think Paul was driven by the need to give access to the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, Paul says this, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone preaches to them? How can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Our mission is to get the message to everyone so that they will have the opportunity to believe. And this has been the same mission that Christ left his followers 2,000 years ago, which we have today. And perhaps we would think that by now, all people around the world would have heard the message about Jesus. Why haven't they heard? Why are there still unreached peoples? I want to give you the example of Coca-Cola. Pastor David Platt says this, "A soft drink company has done a better job getting brown sugar water to the nations than the Church of Jesus Christ has done in getting the gospel to them." That's a sad commentary. And I've been in remote villages in Mexico without electricity where they have Coca-Cola. And actually, I was glad to find it there. I think part of the problem is lack of obedience on our part, lack of entering fully into the mission that Jesus has left us. And I think that's something that each of us needs to wrestle with personally. But there are as well many other barriers that need to be overcome to reach these people groups. The remaining unreached peoples are actually the most difficult to penetrate with the gospel. There are a number of barriers. There are geographic barriers. Many of these peoples live in remote places of difficult access, or perhaps they're nomadic peoples, difficult to reach. There are linguistic barriers. Many of these peoples have no scriptures. They may be illiterate. They have unwritten languages. There are cultural and religious barriers. There are political barriers. Most of the 7,000 unreached people groups live in countries with restricted access. You cannot go in there as a missionary or with a missionary visa. And there is also the resource barrier. There's an imbalance in missionary distribution. Only about 3 in 10 missionaries are ministering with unreached peoples. And there is as well an imbalance in missions finances. For every $1 of Christian giving to all causes, only less than a penny goes to financing pioneer church planting among unreached peoples. So there remains great need and there are great challenges. And what is Davisville doing to meet this need? What is Davisville doing to reach unreached peoples? Over the years, the Davisville family has made concerted efforts to reach the unreached. We saw those photos of Davisville's own family that we have sent out to reach the nations. Currently, Davisville has 41 missionary and ministry partners that minister in a variety of places around the world. And of those 41, 11 of our missionaries are focused on that 10-40 window, are focused specifically on reaching those unreached peoples. 7 of our missionaries actually live within that 10-40 window. And then 4 others of our missionaries are in leadership in organizations that are facilitating the outreach to those unreached peoples. But actually, in recent years, our main effort to reach the unreached has been in the nation of Cambodia. Cambodia is a tremendously needy country in Southeast Asia. It is a country that would be classified as unreached, with still only about 1.9% of its population being true Jesus followers. In 2002, Davisville's leaders, the mission leadership, the pastors and elders, decided to send a Davisville team to an unreached people. We were moved by the need of the unreached, and we decided to say, we want to, as a church, be used by God to reach an unreached people. And so that began a four-year process to recruit, train, and send our own to an unreached people group. And so, long story short, after about 4 years, in 2006 and 2007, we sent several of our own people to the Khmer of Cambodia. And so Pat and Jeannie Hartsfield, Jim and Carolyn Gabriels and families, Greg and Jane Drebus, and Anissa Hensley arrived in Cambodia in 2006 and 2007 and began our Davisville ministries there. Many of you remember that process well. Many of you were encouraged and blessed by participating in that process, and many of you continue to be blessed by that participation. You've been engaged with our Cambodia missionaries and ministries with your prayers, your financial support, your encouragement, and short-term trips. This has been a major church effort for Davisville, and it has been a tremendous blessing. So moving forward, we want to continue to grow and nurture our ministry in Cambodia and continue to reach the Khmer people of Cambodia. But we sense that now is the time to begin outreach to another unreached people group. And Pastor Matt is going to come and tell us about this new Davisville Global Outreach Initiative.
Well, first of all, what a rich global presence we have had over the years at Davisville. And about 20 years ago, as Jack alluded to, when we began the initiative to reach the nation of Cambodia, we were blown away to see how God would work in our church family to raise up a number of families to move to Cambodia and serve there. And I think one of the things we underestimated in that process was how much that experience was going to shape our church here in Bucks County. From short-term teams that went to Cambodia to serve in medical missions, to puppet teams, to leadership training that was going on, people were exposed to the ministry of Cambodia, and our hearts here in Bucks County have increased with the love and compassion for the people of Cambodia. And the good news, as Jack had alluded to, is that that commitment to serve in Cambodia continues to remain strong, and we look forward to the many years of effective and fruitful ministry that will take place in Cambodia. But as exciting as Cambodia has been, and that journey over the past 20 years, I believe the next 2 to 3 years of global outreach here at Davisville has the potential to be some of the most exhilarating years of global work through Davisville. After much prayer, research, and conversations over the past year, our global outreach team has identified a new special focus area, that it will be the nation of Bangladesh. If you're like me, when I first began to process this a few months ago, you might think, where exactly is Bangladesh, right? Well, Bangladesh falls in that window, right in that 1040 window that Jack was talking about, and you see a global picture there of Bangladesh, exactly where it resides. But as we focus in a little bit more on Bangladesh, you find that it's just south of China, kind of nestled in India, right in the middle of India there is a small country. There are some significant challenges, as Jack alluded to, this mission of reaching unreached people groups. There are specific challenges that come with that territory. And let me just share some of the challenges I believe that lie before us, but we believe God will walk us through these challenges. First of all, you begin with this small country of Bangladesh, and to give some level of comparison, you think of this country is a little bit smaller than the state of Wisconsin. Now, Wisconsin has a population of just under 6 million people. This little country of Bangladesh has a population of 164 million people. Think of the overcrowdedness and the condensed living environment that happens right there. Geographically, 80% of the population of Bangladesh lives in floodplains. And this becomes a hotbed for natural disasters. And you can think of the things that the people of Bangladesh have had to live through over the years. Socially, over a quarter of the population lives in extreme poverty. And spiritually, about 99% of the population of Bangladesh does not claim to follow Jesus. Less than 1% of the population of Bangladesh identifies as followers of Jesus. And much of that may be just in name. But with those great challenges, there comes great opportunity for the gospel to penetrate the country of Bangladesh. In fact, there is a rising awareness of certain felt needs like education and clean water and those types of resources that are foundational for a country to flourish. But perhaps the greatest is the unreached population of Bangladesh. Of that 164 million people who live in Bangladesh, 162 million of those are considered unreached people. The opportunity is vast for the gospel to make inroads in the country of Bangladesh. And so our hope here at Davisville is that we will move forward in influencing the people of Bangladesh to fully follow Jesus. You see, we have an ever-growing commitment from this point forward to be a part of what's going on in Bangladesh, whether it's through church planning or humanitarian efforts. We want to increase our commitment to seeing the gospel move forward in Bangladesh. Now, this work, this is the good news, is that this work is currently being done in Bangladesh. God is working in this country. I just recently received a quick story of a young man who has come to faith and owns a farm. And this young man, as he's begun to kind of grow in his faith, has begun to look at his farming business as an opportunity to share his faith. And so as he's gone on different trips with his farming business, he's established different relationships throughout the country of Bangladesh. And right now, he's excited to share about how he's established 5 different discussion groups throughout the country that total about 30 different people in those discussion groups about faith and following Jesus. In fact, he just celebrated one of the first individuals in one of those groups being baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's exciting stuff happening in the country of Bangladesh, and we want to be a part of that. Ultimately, our hope is that we would raise up a team similar to a team that went to Cambodia within our church family that would serve in Bangladesh and be a part of bringing the gospel to this unreached people group. So what are 2 things you can do right now? One is learn. We're in a process of us as a church family learning about the people of Bangladesh. I want to encourage you this week to take at least 30 minutes to go on our hub page on our website and click on the Bangladesh card. And there is a number of resources there that begin to unpack who exactly is the people of Bangladesh. Who are these people? Begin to learn who they are. Take 30 minutes this week and begin to learn who they are. Familiarize yourself with them so we can begin to pray and bombard heaven with prayer requests for the gospel to move forward in Bangladesh. And secondly, and I would encourage you this, you can pray. In fact, not this week, but next week on August 17th, that Monday, we're going to start a 5-day prayer challenge that will be live and hosted through a Zoom conference. I want to encourage you to begin to consider being a part of that. We will do it each day for 5 days. We'll take about 15 to 20 minutes and pray together as a church family for the nation of Bangladesh. Stay tuned this week to figure out how you can be a part of that Zoom conference. We'll send out specific links and allow you to be a part of that challenge. But that's coming next week. And so my challenge to you as I leave you this morning is ask God, as you begin to lean in and learn and begin to love the people of Bangladesh, ask God to impress one thing on your heart, one area that you see that is broken in the area of the country of Bangladesh. And you ask God, how would you want me to be a part of restoring that? How do you want me to be a part of restoring that? So would you ask God to do that this week? But together, may we begin to pray for the country of Bangladesh as we as a church family have identified this as our next special focus area. Thank you. Let me hand it back over to Jack.
Wow, exciting stuff. What a privilege to be part of God's story that he is writing in the history of the world. And for him to take our story and write our story into his grand narrative of how he wants to reach the nations for Christ. So this morning, as we wrap up, let's just give some other suggestions for specific action steps. And I want to remind us that we've been talking this morning about Jesus' mission, which is our mission. And so I want to ask you a question this morning. I want you to answer aloud right where you are. What is your mission in life if you are a follower of Jesus? Go ahead and say it out loud. Say it louder, I can't hear you. It is to make disciples. And let me ask you another question. According to Matthew 28, 19 and 20, as you make disciples, of whom should you make disciples? Say it out loud. Of all nations or all peoples, locally and globally, reached and unreached, family, neighbors, co-workers, classmates, but also those far away who have never had access to the gospel. So let me ask, how has God been whispering to you this morning? In what ways does God want you to step up in fulfilling your mission of discipling all peoples? Let me suggest as we close just a few specific action steps that you might be able to do. Certainly, do what Matt said. Learn and pray for Bangladesh. And as we think about that learning component, this is one of the things that you can do. You can learn, you can explore and study what God is doing in the world and how you can be used in his global mission. Check out those resources on the hub. There are resources not only about Bangladesh, but also about Cambodia and about unreached peoples around the world. There's even a little quiz you can take, 15 questions. Don't worry, we won't grade it. But it tests how much you understand about God's work around the world. I think that will be interesting to you. Also, let me suggest another way to learn about God's world. I would encourage you to replace 15 minutes of the depressing, horrible world, local, and national news with 15 minutes of encouraging and exciting news about what God is doing around the world. And on the hub, you'll find resources on the internet that you can use to understand what God is doing around the world. And I think our outlook about the world will be greatly blessed by tuning out some of the depressing things and tuning in to some of the exciting things that God is doing. So we can learn. That's one possible action step. Another action step would be to welcome. We can reach out to cultural newcomers to befriend and serve and introduce them to our Lord. At a local 7-Eleven several years ago, there was a manager named Eddie, and two of the O'Brien sons, used to stop regularly at the 7-Eleven for coffee. I don't know why they chose 7-Eleven over Wawa, but anyway, or Starbucks, but they chose 7-Eleven. And as they bought their coffee there, they got to know Eddie. And since our kids were raised outside of the U.S., they tend to resonate with people from other cultures. And so they developed a relationship with Eddie and a friendship with Eddie. And so they not only would stop there and buy their coffee, but then they would stay and visit. And as they got to know Eddie, they got to realize that, well, he told them that his real name was not Eddie. His real name was Mohammed. And that he had, of course, adopted Eddie as a nickname in order to blend in better here. But this Eddie was an immigrant from Syria, Muslim, unreached with the gospel. And as our sons got to know Eddie, particularly one of our sons developed a deeper relationship with him that included mutually helping each other with home improvement projects, being invited to different family events with each other, and that gave me the opportunity to get to meet and know Eddie and to share the gospel with Eddie. Now, to this point, I don't know if he has responded to that, but we had at least the opportunity to share the gospel with Eddie because of welcoming him and developing a relationship with him. That's something that we can do with all of those around us who may very well come from unreached peoples, and they live right next door to us, but they've never heard about Jesus. We can also send, we can launch, support, and sustain missionaries through encouragement, logistics, and finances. And I encourage you to engage with our Davisville missionaries and Davisville missionary projects. Many, many opportunities to get involved in that way, and I know that many of you are currently doing that. Also, you can use whatever skills and experience you have in life to help launch our Bangladesh team. This will be an effort that involves all of us, not just a few who go. And so begin to pray as to how God will want to use your skills to help launch our Bangladesh team. Another way, a specific action step, would be to go. And I know it's a little scary to say that word, but I'm going to say it. Go. Going means to engage in a life of cultural and geographic mobility as messengers of the good news of Jesus. What does it mean for you to go in your current context, to reach out in your current context with the gospel of Jesus? What does it mean for you to go as you think about the world of unreached people? Maybe you could consider overseas study or employment, probably when the COVID-19 pandemic settles down. You could as well offer your skills for global ministry. There are tremendous opportunities to help facilitate global ministry with organizations here in the U.S. And there are opportunities to get online and minister to people around the world. One of those is gotquestions.org, and you could become a person who will answer questions about the Bible for people from around the world by internet, and perhaps lead people to Christ or disciple them virtually in that way. Of course, there are short-term mission trips. We have many of those at Davisville, and there is the possibility of long-term missions. As you think about God's mission, Jesus' mission to make disciples of all nations, is God nudging you to leave this country and move out to another country? Would God perhaps be moving in your spirit so that you would become part of Davisville's Bangladesh team? Are you willing to go, whatever that means, wherever it might involve? And the final step that I want to mention this morning as a possible action step is pray. Matt mentioned this. I strongly encourage you to join us in that special prayer week for Bangladesh. Praying for God's world is asking God to transform lives with the gospel and to build his church globally, to intercede for specific missionaries or ministries or unreached people groups. And there are many ways that we can do that. I know that in our prayer time, our daily prayer time, often there is so much for which to pray and we can get overwhelmed, and it's difficult to maybe add in another element into that prayer time. But I want to suggest a couple ways in which maybe you can enrich your prayer time and your, especially your global prayer, by doing it in ways that just integrate into your natural rhythms of life in daily life. I want to ask you right now to do something a little strange, but I'd like you to do it quickly because we're wrapping up. This is a way that you can pray for the people who make your clothing. And what I'd like you to do is this. I'd like you right now to check the label of an article of clothing that's being worn by someone who's there with you, or if you have the dexterity to check the label in an article of clothing you yourself are wearing. And I want you to look for the country in which that article of clothing was made. If you remember, this is something that Paul Borthwick suggested to us a number of years ago when he spoke here. And I want you to look and try to find the country where your garment was made. And then I'd invite you to use the live stream chat and put the country there where your garment was made. So just go ahead and do that. And let's see how many countries are represented by the garments that we have on right now. And let's see how many of those are unreached peoples. And later on, you could look and do a little research on those countries. And the point of doing this is to help us find maybe an easy or simple way to pray for unreached peoples. So every morning as you get dressed, look at the articles of clothing, look for the tag, the label, and see where your article of clothing was made. And then as you're getting dressed, pray for that country. As you're getting dressed, pray for the very people whose hands touched that cloth, who made your article of clothing. Many of those people work in sweatshops in unreached people nations. Pray for the people who made your clothing. You don't know them, God does. Pray that the gospel will reach them. Pray that the Spirit will move in their hearts to cause them to receive the message of the gospel and come to faith in Christ. Pray for the church of Jesus Christ to be built and nurtured and flourish in the countries where your garments are made. So that would be just a simple way to engage with praying for unreached peoples or praying for countries around the world as you get dressed every morning. Now, someone has suggested that this is what Jesus meant when he said, go into your closet and pray. I'm not so sure that's accurate, but it may be. Let me suggest a couple of other things. You can pray for Davisville missionaries. One of the resources that the Global Outreach team has produced for us here at Davisville is the Davisville Church Global Outreach Prayer Guide, an incredible tool that lists all of our missionaries and ministries. It gives up-to-date prayer requests. Yes, the guide has been out for about a year, well, over a year, but they're timeless prayer requests, so you can continue to use this. The guide also has a variety of resources that talk about the world and the need in the world and unreached peoples and Bible translation and other things. So I want to encourage you to use this if you've got it. If you haven't got one, you can stop by the church office and pick one up free. There are still plenty available. So use our Global Outreach Prayer Guide to partner with our missionaries. Certainly, you can pray for Cambodia. Certainly, pray for Bangladesh. Let me suggest one other way that you could integrate prayer into your daily routines. When we were in Mexico, when we were home on a home assignment, we were talking with a woman in one of the churches that supported us, and she said, you know what? I've committed to pray for you every time I do the wash. And so we knew that that woman was praying for us at least three times a week. She didn't have a big family, but she said, I will pray for you every time I do the wash. And I thought that was a really neat idea. And there are many ways that we can integrate prayer into our daily routines and utilize the moments that our minds are usually unfocused and we can be praying for God's work around the world. So we've seen this morning that making disciples of all peoples is the task. It's the mission that Jesus gave to each one of us. And the question that each of us needs to ask ourselves this morning is, have I dedicated my life to carry out his mission? Let's pray. As we begin to pray, I just want to ask you to consider a couple things. How is God nudging your heart? How does he want you to step up in fulfilling his global mission? Whatever it is that God is nudging you to do, will you say, yes, Lord? Will you say to him, I'll be who you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll go where you want me to go. Will you commit to pray daily for God's global work, especially for Bangladesh? And would you pray particularly for how God wants to use you in reaching Bangladesh, and for God, how God wants to use Davisville in reaching Bangladesh? Father, we recognize this morning that we each need to grow in fulfilling the mission that you've given us. And we thank you for the resources that you've given us. Thank you for the promise of your power, the promise of your presence. And Lord, we recognize with those things, we have all that we need to obey you and to engage fully in your mission of making disciples of all nations. I pray, Father, that our response would be yes. that we would be willing to be and do and go wherever you want us and whatever you want us to do. And we trust you for the grace to do that, and that your name will be glorified as we engage more fully in completing the mission that you have given to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to close just with a quote from Jim Elliot, a missionary who was martyred by the Waldani people in Ecuador back in 1956. Jim Elliot paid with his life for being willing to serve God in missions. And he said this: "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." Let's be committed, each one of us, to fulfill the mission that Jesus gave us. Have a blessed week as you live out your mission this week.